Hi, Greg. We are in council right now, and we're just dealing with the fuel tanks. We need to know about the installation and if there's going to be any kind of a base. Are they supplying it? Are you preparing it? Okay, so okay, I will pass that information on to council then. Okay. Okay. All right, thank you. He said he asked them for installation information, but neither one of them provided it. And he said that he doesn't know about the base because they have to come and inspect the site before they install.
So probably just base this estimate on the two tanks being dropped on site.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have to go from there for the installation.
Yeah, which probably work because they have the equipment there. They can lift it onto whatever is required for them. It'll probably be a concrete base, obviously, with a certain thickness. So, like, quote-wise, it probably doesn't really affect which quote we take. So I'd be comfortable going ahead with that. And Greg's obviously knows he's got to make sure it's going on the proper path.
Now, since we have the treasurer here, this is to accept the actual amount for the tanks. Was there something in the budget for the installation? Was that part of the cost as well?
So budgeted amount is $18,000. So
18?
Yeah, so if there's a cost, then he must have considered that.
Right, okay.
So I think we have to amend the resolution then, or the motion, to strike out including installation.
That would make sense. If it's in there.
Yes.
In the sample, but maybe it's not in the one. So the draft already removed it by the looks of it.
Can I just mention, I keep hearing you saying tanks, and yet in the Paris Own Fuels one, it is clear that there is only one tank, because they named the quantity right at the top. On the Haskell one, it is also clear that there is two of them, because they specify that. So if we're going to fix this, we should say tank.
It says two in the Paris Own Fuels. Of the 12, it's 2,200 liters, and the next one is 4,500 liters.
Yeah, there's two
we
separate.
We could add on to that further that this does not.
It's for two different
things. You're right. Sorry. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Sorry.
It just says.
Could add on.
Could add on there that further that this quotation does not include installation?
From the information that we have.
Yeah.
Because the motion that we have, it said including the price included installation.
Okay.
And
what do you mean the motion we had? Which one?
The draft.
The one, the draft.
That was just a draft, though. So this is the one we're looking at tonight. So the draft is neither here nor there.
Right.
Okay.
But it's
if you want to be specific that it doesn't include installation, that's fine.
Yes, and that's the point.
Okay.
Does it include delivery of the tanks?
Well, it says there about the delivery. Whether it's the delivery fee will apply, or tanks can be picked up.
So, how much is the delivery?
We don't know. Maybe Greg plans on picking them up, or they'll be. Probably the delivery charge can be a separate charge. It's not probably that much.
Right.
We don't. I don't need a motion for the delivery portion of the quotation.
No, it sounds like we're just getting this piecemeal. We're getting the actual tanks, and then we have to go on another motion from then on, another invoice on who delivers and who installs.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's something we could ask Craig while we had him on the phone.
Well, no, I think he was saying that too, and I didn't confirm that he didn't have any
No.
Reference to installation.
He didn't. He had no reference to installation.
He didn't mention delivery.
Yes, he made his plan on picking them up and then setting them on himself right off
okay, so
our own truck.
You don't have that on?
Any further questions, discussion?
So, yeah, so the cost of installing and the building the base net, so we're assuming it's approximately $6,000?
I'm sure, but then, you know, he budgeted 18, so he must have included that cost.
Okay, so what if we run into that it's substantially more than the 6,000?
Then I will bring back the amendment to the budget, so...
Yeah, it'd be a similar process, I think, to what we're doing with Preston coming up shortly. So it's nice to have the figures up front, you're right, but if we don't, we'll have to do an amendment. Hopefully it'll come in under.
Yeah, I would almost think it would have to, 6,000 for... Can't see it being that much for concrete pad and the barrier posts, I wouldn't think. But I didn't think In-Homes Bridge would be that high either, so.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Recorded? Carried? Resolution 23-661, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, whereas the 2023 annual budget, bylaw number 2023-35, allocated $15,500 to repair and maintenance for the case backhoe on unit 238, and whereas unexpected repair costs have been incurred in the amount of $23,000, and whereas additional costs may be incurred to have the machine in working order, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby direct the Treasurer to transfer $14,000 from the Public Works Vehicle Reserve to Case Backhoe Unit 238, Repair and Maintenance, General Ledger, Line Item, to cover costs incurred and other repair items in 2023. Further, that the Treasurer will present an amendment to the budget at an upcoming meeting. Discussion? Councilor Kekkonen?
So, what year is this unit? the main backhoe that the township uses?
Actually, the resolution should have two backhoes. One is the case backhoe, and another one is the cat backhoe. So the CAS 8885 case backhoe has a budget of $12,000, and the CAT backhoe has a budget of $3,500, so total is $15,500. So this invoice is about the CAS backhoe, which is 885.
So looking at the budget, it seems like the municipality owns three backhoes. There's a CAT, there's a John Deere, and there's a Case.
Yeah.
So, what is...
this invites particularly dealing with the CAS 885 CAS backhoe.
So, one of the things that's good to know is the year of it. Is this at end of life? Is this a backhoe that's end of life?
Pretty much, yeah.
So how much?
Sorry.
So how much are we going to invest in an end of life?
I was going to say that, you know, in my 5-year capital budget, we propose to replace it in 2028.
Okay, well, that's quite a ways away.
Greg said, you know, for time being, he can repair and, you know, he can use it for next couple of years, and by 2028 we need to definitely replace it.
It's unfortunate that, I guess this is up to GF Preston, but how they send their bills, but
yeah,
you can't even
read
it.
They got that, so
they
I
put
think
the logo
they deliberately
right
do that.
Yeah, I don't imagine that is deliberate, but
it's like it was redacted.
You can read it online. You can, when you look at it online, you can read it. But we've tried every way to
like
print it,
then?
And it comes through
okay.
black.
Okay.
I don't care about us dinosaurs at all.
And am I right that the $14,000 that we're being asked to move from the reserve represents this page here for 13,622?
13,6 plus 7,000, so roughly 21,000 per car. So we already budgeted 12,000. So remaining I'm asking 14, so that will become 26,000.
For that one.
I'm still not understanding the
so
math.
So we already have a budget of 12,000 in 2023.
Okay.
Approved budget.
Okay.
And we have two invoices. Total of those two invoices roughly around 21,000.
So we're 13,000 short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So transferring from reserves or the budget amounts you mentioned now, that you're transferring from two different backhoe budget amounts. Like from, you mentioned 3,500, which is the cat backhoe, and the for the case was 12,000. So we're still short.
Roughly, estimated, because there could be more devices that I don't know. As of now, we got two devices and we could expect more, so for time being, I'm asking the council to transfer 14,000 from the vehicle reserve.
So the question we have to ask at some point in time is, this is an end-of-life vehicle, or backhoe. We own three backhoes. I don't think in any point in the history of the municipality has the township owned three backhoes. So it's just to know at, you know, looking at which assets we invest in, because we have a significant list of assets that do need regular maintenance and investments. So I think at some point in time we have to look at, you know, the asset management list and determine which ones we want to keep pouring money into.
I think that's the discussion we need to have with the Director of Operation. He's the best person to answer this question, what kind of assets he would like to keep and what kind of assets he would like to replace.
Councilor Zulak?
So if we do the repairs on it, it's going to be, right now it will be worth nothing if he wants to resell it. So
right.
If he does the repairs on it, it's worth money. And what does it cost to buy a new backhoe? It's like 100, 200,000 or 180,000. So, I mean, if you can keep it running and then sell it,
mm-hmm. That's valid.
Just want to add that the invoices you see, that repair is already done.
It's done.
So we have to pay those two invoices.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
I'm a mixed point. Yeah.
Well, that's the difficulty looking at, you know, figures on a piece of paper when they actually open up the machine and see what's wrong with it.
Yeah.
You can estimate all you want, but you might find more problems. And that's what we're dealing with. So if you've lumped all of these figures together for the different backhoes, and you say you still have to take it out of vehicle reserve, though?
Yeah, but, you know, safe side, again,
right.
It's ongoing project, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how long, how much we need it. And if we don't need it, then, you know, we only use whatever we need it, so.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So. Sounds like he's already started. When he says 2028, again, it's an estimate. You don't know how long he's going to last, any of them, but he started the process, I guess, of looking through the asset management and the year when we say goodbye to it. So, any further discussion on this one? Call the question then. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried? Probably should have asked. Recorded?
That's it.
Resolution 23-662, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of Kelleher hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for September 2023 from Treasurer Roshan Kantia for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Ryland.
Roshan, I know I've asked this question before, and I know you've answered it before, but I don't recall. Can you show me, like, the very first item that's on here about the OMERS payment, that we're paying $16,000, yet it says the year-to-date balance is $16,000? Sorry, no, it is the same on that one. It is different on others. Are these coming from different sources? In other words, if we've got an expense here, surely the year-to-date has to be at least equal to the expense that's being reported.
So the GL you're looking at, that's the balance sheet account, that's a payable account. So
okay.
Whatever, it pretty much, you know, at the end, only the last payment you will see in the payable. Otherwise, everything else will be in and out. So in other way, the whatever you see, $16,450, it will be, balance will be paid.
Okay. You don't look convinced.
This is not an expense account, so if you're thinking about the expense, this is,
yeah,
this is payable. That's why you see the credit and it will be, you know, in and out.
Okay. Can I ask a couple
sure.
other?
Yeah.
And I'll try not to belabor any of this stuff, but the item near the bottom of page 1 of 14 for ViaNet, can you tell me what that internet is for? Is that the library? The second last item, at least for $167, which is inconsequential. I'm just curious if that's what that is, or if you know what that is.
I assume that's our backup that we
yeah.
have here.
Yeah.
Is it?
That we used in the community center the other day. For the
okay. And on a similar vein to my first question for the Minister of Finance, on page 2, under protection of persons and property, we have an expense of $30,729. And a year-to-date balance of $184,000, but the budget is $368,000. Correct me if I'm wrong, but given that we're now three quarters of the way through the year, if we've only spent $184,000 out of a budget of $368,000, is there a logical explanation for that?
So that year-to-date balance, even I'm confused the way the number comes up. And
that's frightening.
Well, you're not the only one, let me tell you. So.
No, and I knew that the council would ask me, and I went through my you know, the ledger, and he looked at that. The number doesn't match with the way, you know, put on the year to balance. So I don't know how they come up those numbers. So it's somehow the software it's giving those numbers, so I couldn't figure out.
So that's not your balance that you
no,
have?
No,
no.
So what is the
okay.
balance you have? Do you know? No.
I have a different number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Higher.
So if you multiply by 33,000 to 6, so roughly around more than that.
Is it monthly installments?
Yeah, that was
because
kind of
12
yeah,
times.
Yeah, monthly installments.
Yeah.
So this is our best one. So roughly if you multiply 30,000 to 8, so it should be more.
Should be like 270, right?
Yeah.
So
it's almost like that's for 6 months, up to 6 months, and for some reason it's not being entered beyond that.
Yeah.
Can this be equated to any of the issues that were raised in the by the forensic auditors? I mean, just in other words, software incompatibility between different systems, is that what we're likely looking at?
That's what that's how I see it, because
okay.
you know, some of the report doesn't make sense to me, so.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what struck me
yeah.
from what they were saying, too, is just that I'm sure this causes you a lot of grief, even if for nothing else answering
and
my idiot questions.
And
but yeah.
And especially if somebody asks me and that number doesn't match, then, you know.
Yeah. Okay, and I have several similar examples later, but I won't. I think it all boils down to the same thing. So,
Councilor Keck?
So, on page 11 of 14, the... auditing fee for
yeah.
the 911 emergency services.
Yeah.
So, do you know if there's going to be a meeting at some point in time? Is that the 911 committee?
That's the 911 committee, and that's for the
auditing. Yes. So, do you know if they're because I believe McKellar is the lead
yeah.
in that? That is there any meeting to be scheduled in the near future? Usually it's an annual meeting?
So the annual meeting supposed to be in July, and we sent an email to everybody that when, you know, normally with that email, I normally submit the budget as well as the financial statements for the year, for that year end. And through the Dan Thompson, you know, I sent the email that, you know, this is the budget, this is the financial statements, and I would like to propose a meeting, but nobody shows interest. So at the end, I just got the approval from 3 or 4 municipalities that everything's okay. So that's it.
But they're paying their portions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had one question on page 414, but it's similar to what Councillor Ryan's referring to, I think, in our budget and the year-to-date balance for Morrow's Plumbing. I mean, it's the exact same figure, so I don't... Okay, so not to worry
about
it.
Don't worry that column.
Okay.
We paid them a lot of money, apparently.
Yeah.
Just for an opinion, do you think it's possible that different software would resolve this issue? Do you know software that would work to resolve these issues?
Well, I worked on the different software, so normally good municipalities, they use the great things, Microsoft Great Plains, and that's a very expensive one. I know at the town of Perth we used to pay $30,000 for just for that software.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, it's up to the individual municipality and their structure and the cost, and you know.
But it would be integrated with our general ledger and things too.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and therefore we wouldn't run into these idiosyncrasies, I'll call them anyway. I could call them other things too, but okay. It seems to me that...
And that's what we put in the auditor put in a note in the forensic audit that, you know, it's our tax software, which is called TMM.
Yeah.
It's not secure.
Yeah.
Anybody can, like, not anybody, but then user... any user can go in and, you know, change the data. It doesn't have any security features, so,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to put together, this is just me speaking, not council, but, I mean, a plan to deal with those issues? I mean, if council directs you, I'm not saying...
If council approves the budget, then we can look into that.
Not really a fair question. I apologize for it. So,
page 7 at the top, mileage to Wasco. It looks like the same sort of thing. To pick up Rescue 3, it was $56. And to pick up Rescue 2, it was $169 to the same location. I'm just wondering why there was a big difference in price. Unless they took another driver and another vehicle, or I don't know how they operate, but...
I have to pull up the invoice.
I think they'd have to take somebody else
yeah.
to get there, I guess, and then to drive it back. So maybe they're counting for 2 vehicles?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I remember that Robert was mentioning to me that there was another driver.
Okay.
Well, why wouldn't that be true for the first one, then, too?
Yeah, I don't know how they did that. Maybe he was camped out there, I don't know.
Maybe you walked, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you walked.
It's a very good question. They're nominal expenses, but I'm sure there's, I hope there's an explanation anyway. But
maybe the first guy waited till it was done.
Then they wouldn't have charged mileage. If they would have driven the vehicle there, it's a fire department vehicle, they wouldn't have charged mileage to, they would be doing it during their time as a volunteer firefighter.
Pick up.
Any further questions on the check run? question then, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Resolution 23-663, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Township's 5-year capital plan from Treasurer Roshan Cantilla for information purposes. Everybody have a seat? Oh, you're sitting. That's good. So we'll go through this year by year. No, I know it's for information purposes, and it's not to frighten us, I guess. But
it does.
I'm looking at some of the things in there, certainly, and the dates in it. Certainly appreciate spread out over the years. I'm thinking of something like Herdville Bridge, for instance, and I know you can't anticipate even, but that's something like $2 million that I would think McDougall would come in on that, and maybe Lakeland too. There'd be some money coming in from other sources. It wouldn't straight be from the township. I think of the Veterans Bridge, Middle River. When it was done, it was held up for years because we needed a grant, and it was over $1 million, so the actual cost of the bridge. And so the same sort of thing here. I guess what we have to do in that particular case is look at the reports and see what is the life cycle of the Herdville Bridge as is. The engineer's report, I think Greg said it's coming in November, the most recent one. They've already inspected, but we haven't seen the report yet, I guess. And then, again, it's hard to anticipate. Maybe they're saying 2028. I don't know what their suggestions were for replacement. I'm just thinking there are a lot of things in the mix here with that one in particular. That is a frightening one because of the amount. But I think we certainly have to look at other levels of government and also the McDougall and see how high it is on their priority list as they work on their 5-year plan. And before we put aside $2 million just for that. So I'm thinking with some of the figures you have in there, certainly in your amortization chart, that's frightening. And the way it reads, I mean, you're looking at $4.9 million, I guess, shortfall over that time. And I think it was $3.9 million in interest over that time. So that was really frightening. And you also mentioned, of course, deferral of certain projects. This is sort of a wish list that put together, and but I think you had fire department involved in it as well as roads. And
this 5-year capital budget was prepared in consultation with the fire department, Robert Morrison, as well as the Greg, director of operations, and chief of engineering official. And I know it's a big number, and to solve the unfunded capital dilemma, there's two options. Again, either we go with the debenture or we delay some of the projects or totally remove those projects, which we think is not necessary. Again, roads and the bridges are pretty much our service line, and that needs to be maintained and replaced because of the safety. And if you look at the total cost out of that, the roads and the bridges are the major cost out of that, $9 million. Roughly $6 million, more than $6 million is the, out of $9 million is the roads and bridges. Again, yeah, you're right, Mayor, that you know we need to figure out how to cover those costs. And unfortunately, there's not much and grants for especially for the bridge, because I remember for in-home bridge I talked to a couple of ministries and they took that for me. They don't have specifically grant for the bridges.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll review that, but I know what you're saying. It took a long time to get the one from Middle River. We hated to put it off, but I'm wondering with this too, the roads in particular, you almost need a map. What he's done with the roads, he's doing little sections here and there, and sort of hit and miss. And it's, I guess Greg knows again what roads are the worst shape and when they're going to be done. Speaking of a map, I'm wondering if that could be done to be helpful for us to visualize the different sections, because we have to look at, okay, he's going to do a kilometer here, 2 kilometers there, different locations for different years. And when he says asphalt, he's talking the hot mix pavement, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and I'm wondering, too, this is something that Councillor Haskam can pick up on, because I know you'd mentioned it before. This is sort of piecemeal, little bits here, little bits there, and putting it all together. You suggested doing it all at once. I mean, you talk about Rochant's figures, and they'd be increased substantially, I think, but they might be the same in the sense that, or maybe even reduced, because you're doing it all at once as opposed to some 1 year, or some the next year, or some the third year.
It could be something worth looking at, because every year prices continue to go up, so you would have to factor in, say, look at Center Road doing all, get prices, okay, and then get prices for that 1 year, and then try to anticipate possibly, they probably want to give you quotes for the second and third year. But it might be something to look at. If a construction company says, oh, well, yeah, for 3 years, instead of, say, $500,000 for the first section, won't be 15 for the whole thing, we'll bring it down to 13. You know, say, kind of thing, so there might be a saving in doing. It's probably worth looking into. Now, I see the 5-year construction plan where Greg's looking at just maybe doing, breaking into thirds.
Well, I was looking at Rochant's here, too, where it's broken into even great detail.
Right, yeah.
Actually, I followed the assets management plan and the way they did it. That's how I tried to present it, and so it will be easier for us. And as we discussed last couple of times, that we need to include it in our budget, assets management, the plan.
Yeah.
And, again, it's right now it's just part of the discussion, obviously, but for the next year, 2024 budget, we need to figure out what projects we would like to see next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, an asset management plan showing all of the roads, and like you say, a map would be good to also, because I'm sure Greg's doing the job best he can, but is there other roads that maybe are, when you start going up to 2028, is like, say, Burnett's Road or Hardy's Road, are they being overlooked and by that time going to be in desperate need too? It's like, oh, okay. So it's almost like we kind of go through the list of all our roads and almost have Greg's anticipation of all them, just to make sure we're not forgetting some road project as we go through.
That's sort of what he's done here in this, because he's going Herdville Road from Jones's Road to Fire Route 301, and the actual cost. And it is broken down. Not all roads are in there, as you say. These are the ones that he's figured needs.
Yeah, that's the only, when I went through it, was the thing is some roads aren't even mentioned.
Right.
And if he can make us feel confident that, oh no, don't worry about those other roads, they're not on there because they won't need work, well, I'll feel good. But I just want to make sure that we've got it all covered, so when we start talking major money figures that we're getting it covered, and because it may have an effect on what how much we up taxes too. You know?
Oh, definitely. Yes. Councillor Pickett?
Yeah, sort of on the line of what Councillor Haskam was saying, that we need to see the entire all assets asset spreadsheet, because you know, we're looking, that's just one component, the roads, but when it has all of the components in there, all assets, then you have fleet, you have buildings, you have everything, so that it might look good for roads, but then when you factor in the other assets, then it you have to weigh everything out, so.
Yeah. And now are those documents available presently, or we have to work on an update of the asset management plan, or where are we at with that?
So non-core assets, we need to update it, because July 2024, we have to file, we have to prepare the updated list of all the assets.
Okay, now does council have to give direction to staff in some way that we can get the ball rolling? And because personally, I'd like to see us have something in place before Christmas even, where we could actually start, you know, at least studying and have some documentation over the holidays even to, you know, if it's on our desks, we can kind of keep looking it over and just study it and be ready for some serious budget talks going in early into the new year. So I just like to, at some point where we start getting some of these asset management plans in our hands, and so we can start, you know, studying it.
I think we were told that Roshan has a, if not a Word version, you have the, what's the other?
Excel.
Excel version of it, that you can actually, of those asset management plans. But
that's only for the core assets.
Right.
The roads and the bridges and the, not all of them.
So you don't have the software, like the so that you can enter from the 2016? Because that one was updated on a regular basis for the first couple of years, and it has all of the assets on it.
It doesn't have all the roads, but just the roads that were going to be repaired, I think. But you're right, it's very detailed.
Can I ask, Roshan, sorry, just on that issue, the road stuff that I see in here looks extremely similar to the roads needs study, which had
so
a bunch of spreadsheets. But
assets management plan last year, 2022, we developed it based on the road needs study.
Okay.
So that's where the all the data came from.
Because, I'm looking at it, and as soon as I saw it, I recognized it.
Yeah.
But I mean, admitting that there are many spreadsheets in the roads needs study, but in any event, okay. I mean, I just wanted to confirm that that was the source, but anyhow.
So what was the company that, Something Solutions, did that one?
Municipal Solutions, Infrastructure Solutions.
Yeah, I wonder if there could reach out to them and see what they have as far as software, whether they have the actual Excel version that they could forward to us. I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't dealt with them for quite a while, but that would be a good one to work with, as you say. We could reproduce it, certainly. It's a lot of work.
Actually, I did reproduce it I created my own Excel sheet based on whatever assets we have.
So you have that now, then?
I do have, but then I don't know if that's updated one, because now the road, the one Mike has it, not specifically like that, but I have the assets name and the their age and because that Excel sheet I maintain for the amortization.
Right. Well, I think that's good.
I don't have a detail when it was bought, who bought it, or when it was bought, and how much was bought at that time, and what was the usage of that, and I don't know how specifically that. I have limited information, like the asset's name and age and whatever the remaining age on that assets.
But you do have columns that we could actually
sure.
Add. This is what Councillor Hassan was talking about, I think.
Yeah, we want to see some of your fancy work.
Okay, definitely. I can bring it that one. I can bring it that one. That's not
Yeah, I think it's something for us to start studying
sure.
And get more familiar with our assets and what's going to be needed down the road. So at some point, when you're comfortable with what you're working on, to get it to us, and we can start studying up and get ready for the big talks.
Can I ask a question? Are we able to print on 11x17 paper on
yes.
our printer?
Yes.
Do you ever do it?
Well, the only thing I ever do on 11x17 is registry plans.
Okay. Because it just seems to me that some spreadsheets would be a lot easier. Well, the one that Mike
definitely.
Has that's about four of them pulled together isn't, I don't know what that size is. That's huge.
Yeah.
But even 11x17 is a lot easier to read than
yes.
this, so I'll
yes.
just say that.
Yep.
So,
yeah, we can definitely do 11x17.
And that would help a great deal when you can see it and grasp it. I mean, and I think obviously this will be an iterative process to figure out the steps along the way, but I think I would certainly hope we contribute to that and bring some focus to it anyhow. So,
and I'm thinking too, we can go larger even than that. If you go to the, I don't know what we have here for planning, I think in Whitestone they actually have the capabilities of
they
doing
do.
Larger print.
They do.
They have a plotter.
I know
sure
for the planning department that's something they really pushed for the CBO up there, and I think they got it. So I'm not sure what they can do.
Yeah,
but
they can print.
Because I think they usually use plotters to print on the full size survey paper. I don't even know that size, but it's huge. So
yeah, So you'd have to run along the table to read it. So.
Yeah, exactly. You got to move, right? You got a conveyor belt to move around so you can keep reading the columns. But
it is nice to have it all in one sheet.
It is.
I used to do that with spreadsheets, and I was down to a 6-size font, and you could barely read it.
I know.
It was all on there, but you had to get a magnifying glass to.
Do we even have 11 by 17 paper, like
yep.
in stock? Yeah, okay, good. That was my habit for big spreadsheets anyhow, so.
Well, there's certainly a lot of work in this. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Put all that together.
Well, Sean, on my right, if we had a tax levy increase, I suppose, of $400,000 a year, that's approximately 10%, a 10% increase?
Pretty close.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So basically, that's what, on average, we transfer to the capital, $400,000 every year, around $400,000.
And then you see all our bodies swinging outside the next day.
So. Now that partnership fund, I don't know what it's in. That's for operating, is it? Or?
It's operating.
Okay.
OMPF, Ontario
right.
Municipal Partnership Fund.
Okay. And as far as the pool goes, that would be an operating as opposed to capital, or how does that work? Like, we've already spent, you know, a huge amount of money. I guess that would be capital. I don't know.
Actually, the auditor this year mentioned to me this is going to be capital, which I don't agree, because it's not capital in the sense that we don't own it.
Right.
They own it. The municipal joint board own it. So. But they put it in capital, so I'm not sure why.
Hmm. And yet the township is still expected to pay an amount for depreciation of that building over the years. So, yeah, I don't know. Sounds like operational, but Councilor Zudak, you have a point?
Roshan, under the community center, the AODA, so various grants coming for that, right, that we're going to apply for?
Next year we are going to apply AODA.
Yeah. So that might help offset some.
I'm not sure.
Well, he's been good at getting grants.
No, I know.
Yeah, we'll try it differently next year.
Yeah.
I wondered about that too, the AODA, because now if you're actually doing new, or if you're renovating, et cetera, you have to meet the standards. If they're just there and you're not doing anything to it necessarily, you don't have to renovate to bring up to those standards, do you? My understanding is it's grandfathered in until you actually do some changes.
So anything which is public accessible, you need to change it. So washrooms here, washroom in community center, washroom in the ring center, washroom downstairs, in the post office.
So even if we're not renovating,
yeah.
we're forced to.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not how I read the legislation, but I'll have to reread it. Yeah.
And the doors has to be wide, so the wheel access accessible. So the doors in the entering into the post office is not wide enough. We need to wipe those doors. Same thing with the all the washrooms doors, it has to be wide so the wheelchair accessible can enter.
Hmm. I'll have to review that. Councilor Peckman.
Yeah, I think we need to review the legislation, as you say, because I think, wasn't it recently at the DPSMA meeting that
right.
they indicated that, as the mayor mentioned, that unless you're actually making any upgrades, anything other than that is grandfathered in. Which
we'll have to review that, because that's what I remember hearing, but that we're not forced to go and do all of these things and update our budget.
I think, you know what, by 2025, we need to change, we need to make sure that all the public accessible properties has to be wheelchair accessible.
Well, it's a good question. It'd be nice to have an answer to it, whether that is all new construction, which I would totally understand.
Right.
But if, or do we have to change existing ones? That seems pretty extreme cost to put on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, not only municipal buildings, probably going to apply to businesses too, and that is just going to be.
Well, accessibility for businesses, I know they did that quite a few years back, and some businesses are still not accessible
mm-hmm.
to the public.
It's
so
too much money.
I don't know how they enforce the legislation. I know they have more clout with public, you're right, but
obviously as we do our future budgeting, I guess we're going to need that answer, whether we're going to be forced into that.
Yeah.
I just asked?
Yeah.
In terms of the debenture, I mean, is it your notion that we would borrow that money for the 5-year period up front? In other words, given that we aren't spending all of it up front, what would we do with the residual? Would we invest it, kind of like what we did with the pool?
So there's a couple of ways of doing it. One is that, you know, we borrow up front and earn interest as of now, because right now interest is good. So whatever money you put in the account, you earn, or put in the GIC,
mm-hmm.
to get more money out of that borrowed money.
Sure.
Because by the time, if you delay the borrowing by, let's say, in 26, 27, by that time the interest might be at 2 or 3%.
Sure.
But that same notion that you won't earn much on the whatever you have in savings. So
yeah.
It's catch 2022. So it's up to individual council that what they think and what project they want to see in the next 5 years.
And what are our limits for borrowing? And the monies that we still borrowed for the pool limits the amount that we can borrow in the future? Is that, I'm not sure I got that straight in my head. But.
So normally the provincial limit is 25% of the your own generated income. So roughly we generate around 4 million, so 25% of that, roughly around 1 million.
Okay.
So that 1 million means that you the principal interest has to be less than or equal to 1 million.
Okay.
Per year.
What you have to your repayment limit per year.
Repayment limit has to be
less than
1 million, you know. That's just approximate number, but
yeah.
That's so we still have lots of room to borrow.
But how does the amount that we've already borrowed affect what we can borrow in the future?
That obviously reduce your repayment limit.
Okay.
But then still, you know, we borrowed because our payment right now 96,000.
Yeah.
So still there's a lot of room. As I mentioned, almost like I think around 300,000 to 400,000 a year.
Yeah.
That, you know, we still have enough room to borrow.
It's just unfortunate, you mentioned the pool, that we're not getting interest on that we borrow. They are. And that's the trouble.
We're just paying interest
on
it, but yes, there you go.
Yeah. Initially, my thought was that they will ask for money in 5 years.
Yeah.
But then they ask the money all of a sudden, so we end up paying all the amount.
That did make sense when we did it, but then it changed. So.
Okay. Any further questions for Roshan?
Thank you for the ton of work that you've done just to produce this document. I appreciate it. I know there's lots of loose ends, but still, thank you.
Great.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-664, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Central McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2023-10, 2023 construction/maintenance season from Director of Operations Greg Gostick for information purposes. Discussion? Now, some of this may be touched on, but I appreciate that he's put together what we were sort of asking for, what he's done each month. And I think that's helpful. We weren't getting all the information. He certainly knew what he had done, but we didn't. So it's useful if the public asks us.
From looking at it, I mean, my basic question, and I know that this isn't Greg's bailiwick, but is to put in the associated costs and budgets and variances and all the rest of that. And I know that's a combination of Roshan and Greg, but it would be very helpful to have this. But this is a good first start. So.
As I say, it's the first step, but that's good.
Can anybody tell me why we don't have the Virgil Bridge under here? I don't see it anywhere, but.
Depends on what he's done to
it.
Well,
or in the 5-year construction plan, too, but. I don't think it's there, unless somebody says it's there and I missed it, but it wouldn't be the first time.
He's got it in construction when we get there.
It's
2028.
Yeah, it says for equipment replacement.
Okay, but don't we have to do it before that time?
Well, as I say, you don't know the dates yet. We haven't got the latest report from the engineering.
Just we're waiting for a report from Bob Hughes, yeah?
Well, the engineering company, it's not Bob Hughes.
Oh, okay.
They do purchase.
The splinter group from ACOM.
So there's the repair that needs to be done to the railings.
Right.
Which, you know, makes sense that if it's not done soon, it decreases the lifespan of the bridge itself. So this construction plan might be sooner because when you're exposing the substructure, you know, to the weather and salt, which is not supposed to be, then it might impact the lifespan of the current structure of the bridge.
Yeah. And we've got another case backhoe for how many times over? Once it's opened up, you see. Any further discussion on these points? Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 23-665, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the 5-year public works construction plan from Director of Operations Greg Gostick for information purposes. Discussion? As Roshan said, this ties in certainly with the other chart that he put together in much more detail. Councilor Peckin?
Yeah, so this is all information we can look at when we're discussing the asset management plan and the budget.
Throw it all in the budget folder when I get home. So,
and the key is to get reasonable, accurate figures for what things might cost, because you don't want to start budgeting for half the cost. You find out that it's double the cost when you're done. So it's pretty hard to budget that way. So I don't know again how you put out feelers to find out, other than through an engineer, which we're doing with some of our roads, for finding out what probably the tenders would come in at. Much more accurate than just sort of guessing that this is what we can do it for. So, but that's all part of the budget process. Call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 23-666, moved by Councilor Hyland, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation, Township McKellar, is hereby approved a discretionary donation in the amount of blank to the Parry Sound Downtown Business Association for the 2024 Maple Syrup Festival. Discussion? Again, I'm not sure if we have enough information to even do this tonight. I'm not sure if they have a deadline. I know she talked about $1,000 a page. Is there an option for a half page, a quarter page? And do we even know what the book's going to look like? Hmm. And what do you get for that page? So, having worked on those before, I think we probably need more information. And again, what do we actually want to put on a page for advertising for the township? It's not just a matter of participating that day, I don't think, really, those couple of days. I don't know whether we can get more information from them, or anything.
I know. I was at the Chamber of Commerce meeting last night, and April was there at that and talked about it with the Chamber, too. The thing that concerns me is that she ended up saying, obviously, this will benefit the town of Parry Sound and any residual income and things. And while that works for probably the majority of people that are there, live in Parry Sound at least, you know, it seems to me to be, you know, you're asking me for money and we're giving it to somebody else, and or couldn't we use the money elsewhere ourselves? But I don't think there's a deadline. Frankly, they're still in the earliest stages. That's apparent to me. So I don't think we need to deal with this today or this, you know, even this month. I think their plans are still rather preliminary. I'll be charitable about it and all the rest. But, yeah, it just... I would like to see us, at the very least, just defer this for now. until we get more information and know what we're getting for our money, right? And who's the audience and how does it all work? Anyhow.
Yeah, how much information, say if we did, say $500 a half page, if that's possible,
yeah.
And how large it is, because I'm thinking if we're going to do that because it has something to do with maple syrup and maybe local suppliers and that, could we actually get some of our businesses
mm-hmm.
that specialize in that on this
yep.
section? So that would be a question for them, is how much wording would that be appropriate if we had five businesses in that space or something? Because
mm-hmm.
we just don't want to put sponsored by McKellar Township.
No.
Really, what's that do for anybody? Even the readers don't care about that. They rather have the contacts for, you know, our local food suppliers,
mm-hmm.
an address or something. So.
Sure. Okay, agreeable to defer?
Yeah.
Okay, call the vote on defer. Those in favor? Resolution 23-667, moved by Councillor Pekkanen, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Whereas Metroland Media Group has sought bankruptcy protection and will cease the print publication of its weekly community newspapers across Ontario, moving to an online-only model. And whereas Neil Oliver, Chief Executive Officer and President of Metroland Media Group, said the 71 Metroland community publications will be digital only going forward. And whereas the Legislation Act 2006 provides a definition of newspaper, which applies to every Ontario Act and regulation, as in a provision requiring publication, means a document that A, is printed in sheet form, published at regular intervals of a week or less, and circulated to the general public, and B, consists primarily of news of current events of general interest, or in a journal, in parentheses. And whereas Ontario municipalities are required to follow publication and notice requirements for provincial acts and regulations, and whereas communities such as the West Prairie Sound area cannot comply with publication requirements and provincial acts and regulations, as the Prairie Sound North Star news publication is no longer being printed in sheet form, no other local news publications fitting the definition of newspaper, and whereas some small rural Ontario municipalities may not have the means to bring an application to the court to ask for directions and approval of an alternate manner of providing notice. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby request the provincial government to make an amendment to the Legislation Act 2006 to include digital publications as an acceptable means of publication and notice requirements for provincial acts and regulations. And further, that this resolution be forwarded to the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Paul Calandra, Attorney General Doug Downey, Prairie Sound Muskoka MPP Graydon Smith, the Association of Ontario Municipalities, AMIL, CEO and President of Metroland Media Group, Neil Oliver, and all Ontario municipalities. Discussion. Well put together.
Yes, it's been motioned.
It's the question of timing for all of this anyway, and we know how long it takes to change legislation.
Yeah.
Well.
Councillor Pekkanen?
So there is one newspaper that's circulated, printed in sheet form, not published at intervals of a week or less. It's every 2 weeks. The Great North Arrow.
The Arrow.
So, you know, if worse came to worse and we needed to publish some notice, I wonder if that's an option.
The municipality solicitor looked into the Great North Arrow and it would not comply.
Okay.
And you haven't heard anything from other municipalities, what they're doing, a similar type thing? We're sending it to all municipalities, but...
I don't know if some municipalities haven't run into this yet, because some different legislative processes follow this and some don't. So some municipalities may not be doing things that they may run into this problem, but they will at some point.
Yeah.
We're just lucky enough to stumble across it.
Well, it'd be nice if the... As you say, at some point they will. In the future, it'd be nice if they came to our aid and actually followed up too, because it seems to be a collective force that has any influence with the government, rather than one municipality, lone municipality out here asking for change in legislation, and doesn't have much clout. So hopefully, the AMO and the other municipalities will get on board. I guess we didn't ask for their support, did we?
Yeah,
I read quite a bit there, did I?
Yeah.
That's good. Okay.
And all Ontario municipalities.
Well, I know we're sending it to them, but did we ask for their support? That's what I'm saying, that they support our motion. Because that's what you tend to do to make sure that they send it to the government. So. However, I'm not sure if we have to add anything there or not.
We could add it. Couldn't we add that?
So the paragraph above says, now therefore be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township McKellar does hereby request the provincial government to make an amendment to the Legislation Act 2006. So we're asking directly, and if these other municipalities, if this is sent to all of the municipalities in Ontario, then...
And to seek the support of other municipalities, something like that? I don't know where you'd put it, but...
Wouldn't you put it right at the end and say, and seek their support at the very last of the last paragraph? And request their support? Is that more specific?
Yeah, before you start naming all the people you're sending it to?
Yeah, yes. I think it's got to go in this one. And
do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
request the support.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Municipalities. You would hope that the minister would support us, but. It'll be on the next AMO agenda. That's usually, that's later in the year, isn't it? What do they have in January, February? Is it? That's not AMO, is it?
Didn't they just have AMO?
Yeah, there's usually, I think it's August, but there is a conference in. Maybe it's Good Roads, I'm thinking of, but it comes early in the year.
In the spring.
Yeah, so we just added before the last paragraph further request the support of all Ontario municipalities. That sound all right?
Yep.
So we'll just
I wrote down the same words on Monday, but I just made it up. I knew it would be different, but it's the same, so.
Quick vote for the amendment then. All those in favor? Not opposed. And with the amended resolution, all those in favor? Not opposed. Carried. Resolution 23-668, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby appoint the following persons to the respective township committees: Peter Duffy, Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee; and Rick Spears, Lake Stewardship Environmental Committee; and Jeanette Clements, Historical Committee. Discussion.
And many more members welcome.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried.
Given that Jennifer's here, can we just mention what we talked about just prior to the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
The form that Peter Duffy filled out, which I don't know, it didn't come through you.
I don't think I've seen it. Oh, maybe I did see
that. It appears to be, the older forms have a two-sided thing because it has some other stuff, because he's actually signed at the bottom of page one, and either he didn't see the other page or didn't provide it. But we'll need to get him to sign it because he's signing the waiver without the details that would be included on the back of the older form. And obviously we shouldn't have two forms out there. I mean, that's not really the issue, but I don't know. This one did not come through you?
Well, it went to Anna and to myself on the same day. So, but then I just sent it back in again when it got missed the last time.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible that he did it, we just don't have it, but it would be good to have, that's all.
So I think what we have to do is make sure that we have a form that all committees are aware of and that they use in the most up-to-date form. Mm-hmm. Like even when you present for deputations, you're using an old form, 2019, we have a new one. So we'll send that out
to
everybody, and we'll try to update so that everybody is on the same page, so to speak. So. Okay, we have resolution 23-669, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Tuckenden. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the email addressed to Mayor David Borg from Prairie Sound Muskoka MVP Graydon Smith, dated October 11th, 2023, asking the municipality service under the Septic Approval Authority of the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority if they would like to remain status quo or if they wish to be removed, and further that the chief building official does support in principle septic approvals being under the township's jurisdiction, and will provide a detailed report to council at a future meeting outlining the proposed operational changes, financial implications, and improved service delivery that would occur in the township's building department with ability to provide septic approval services. Discussion. Councilor Brian.
I had shared the email from Graydon Smith with Jennifer earlier this week, because we were having earlier last week, sorry, because we were having a committee meeting that same night. And I know this is closely connected to a couple of different a couple of different aspects of this policy. I asked Jennifer if she would have a look at this, and I don't know if give a report is necessarily the right words to use, but just to provide some insight into it, and particularly the drinking water source protection, as well as I know this also impacts plans that we had had about looking at old septic systems in McKellar and the difficulty of obtaining information from North Bay Mattawa. And there's probably some other aspects, Jennifer, that I haven't mentioned. With council's permission, I'd like Jennifer to be able to at least offer a brief summation of those things, if it's agreeable.
Yeah, just prior to, a little history on it, because sure. I know on the planning board over a decade ago, this came up before, and Archipelago was able to have the approval authority. They had their own planning board as well. The planning board at the time asked if the other municipalities could also do the same sort of thing. That's prior to North Bay Mattawa sort of thing. And to quote unquote, it made more sense for our townships. We thought that the building inspector being out there, now I've found out since it'll take more visits, of course. It's not the same time you inspect a part of the building construction, the same with septic approval, but so there'd be extra costs, certainly, and maybe extra personnel. But at the time, we'd asked for that, and we were turned down. That it stayed with North Bay Mattawa. They created this organization that covered a large area, and that's who we had to apply to. And since then, of course, I'm not sure if all the municipalities still go through them. We could certainly investigate, but I think that was always sort of the wish, that we do it locally. And I'm just not sure where we sit now. Again, we haven't discussed this as council.
No.
So I have no problem if Jennifer can keep it fairly short and... this is something we have to consider with our CBO, certainly, to see if, and the other townships. We got this letter from Graydon Smith just out of the blue, but I guess some of them have been approaching him and saying that we're having troubles with North Bay Mattawa as well, and we'd like to see what you can do. And he's sort of getting a surveyed feel for what the municipalities want, and then he would take it to legislation if it's going to change. So, sure, I have no problem.
I did prepare something. I just have two written copies, but I'd like to email it to the council tomorrow if that's okay.
Yeah.
This is something. Can you hear me without the mic? Or
you just need it so Zoom people can hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something can hear. So this is something that I looked at. I became active with the environmental committee about 3.5 years ago. And at that point in time, we were talking about septic inspection and. Many areas had septic inspection, and I just took a deep dive into figuring out where did septic inspection come from. And in regard to the proposal to look after septic approvals within the municipalities of West Parry Sound District, as discussed in the letter from Graydon Smith, MPP, dated Wednesday, October 11th, to the mayors of area municipalities, my concerns are the implications in delivering a different level of regulation than accepted best practices. This could result in greater expense and increased liability for the ratepayers of the township. For the vast majority of the population of Ontario, septic approvals go through the local conservation authority as part of their drinking water source protection plans. The Georgian Bay and Muskoka townships, the source protection areas include southern Ontario, starting at the southern edge of Georgian Bay and Muskoka townships and curving under Algonquin Park over to the Ottawa River and all points south and east. There are also pockets which include Sault Ste. Marie, Sudbury, and North Bay, Mattawa. The latter includes part of East Parry Sound District. These drinking water source protection plan areas are organized according to watershed areas. So this, to be specific, is not something that is included for McKellar and for part of East Parry Sound District and all of West Parry Sound District. A source protection plan protects the area around municipal wells and surface water intakes from activities that are or would become significant drinking water threats. This plan governs the location and handling of sewage, agricultural source material, pesticides, road salt, fuel, chemicals that assist in the de-icing of aircraft, land use for farm animals, activities that affect the recharging of an aquifer, and pipelines. These drinking water source protection plans were drawn up after the 2000 Walkerton drinking water contamination by E. coli, in which 7 people died and 2,300 became ill. Many of these people remain on dialysis as today as a result. The Clean Water Act was passed in 2006, which established source protection plans under the Ontario Building Code. The North Bay Mattawa source protection plan was approved 9 years ago in 2015. The policy for vulnerable areas states that for all future and existing septic systems that could be significant threats and that are subject to the requirements of the Ontario Building Code, a mandatory maintenance inspection program shall be implemented by the provincial authority, that is, the conservation authority responsible for the area's source protection plan, as defined by the Ontario Building Code. By February 1st of each year, the principal authority defined by the Ontario Building Code shall prepare a progress report for the Source Protection Authority to, at minimum, confirm that the program is being implemented and report the number of any outstanding orders. The report may also include the numbers of inspections completed, failed systems identified, and new systems constructed, either as a result of new construction or replaced as a result of failed septic systems in the subject area. Within the last 2 years, the provincial government responded to the pressure to cover areas not under a drinking water source protection plan and came up with the following guidelines. So just to specify, the vast majority of the province, so the provincial population, I've seen figures of 80%, and I've also seen a figure of 95% of the population are covered under these drinking water source protection plans. The guidelines: learning about the physical characteristics of your area can help with your assessment of vulnerability. There are maps and resources that provide information about soil types, aquifers, and the steepness of the land. Through the Ministry of the Environment, Conservation and Parks, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, and the Ministry of Energy, Northern Development and Mines, OGS Earth website, you can access water well records and other borehole records, quaternary geology and bedrock geology maps, aquifer maps, depth to water table maps, maps of the thickness of the soil layers above aquifers, geological cross sections, topographical surface and surface water feature maps. Topographical maps show the locations of hills, mountains, and valleys using lines called contour lines to represent different elevations. A professional geoscientist or engineer, you can also do some further assessment work to determine how vulnerable your source is to contamination if you need more information than the simple techniques presented above. A basic hydrogeological assessment or advanced modeling techniques can be used to determine the vulnerability of your drinking water source. Hydrogeology, or the study of water underground, is an area of geoscience. Geoscience is a regulated profession in Ontario under the Professional Geoscientists Act. Hire a geoprofessional, a professional geoscientist or a professional engineer who is qualified to conduct hydrogeological assessments to do this work for you. Professionals can be found through local listings in your area. You can also view public registers of professional geoscientists on the Professional Geoscientists Ontario website and professional engineers on the Professional Engineers Ontario website. So that's the advice of the government as to how areas, municipalities can manage their system without being covered by a drinking water source protection plan. The Federation of Ontario Cottagers Associations, FOCA, has studied this issue carefully, and there's a 2022 paper that concludes that although the voluntary guidelines are good for the population not included under a drinking water source protection plan, they are not a substitute for the comprehensive and well-regulated process in the protection of drinking water according to watersheds set up in the Clean Water Act. The best practices in relation to drinking water source protection are well established, and any process that would deliver a lower level of regulation may put the municipality at risk for the occurrence of another tragic incident like that which took place in Walkerton 23 years ago. Also, since agreement about best practices is so well known and established, the liability of any municipality that adopts a septic approval system that provides less protection would therefore be increased. The drinking water source protection plans are the responsibility of the Ministry of the Environment, which includes monetary responsibility. It is also possible that taking an independent route to septic approvals would result in considerably more cost to municipal taxpayers. Since the area municipalities are coming together to discuss this proposal, perhaps they should consider a request to have the watersheds of the remainder of East Parry Sound District and West Parry Sound District included under the full services of North Bay Mattawa Drinking Water Source Protection Plan. At the October 12th meeting of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee of McKellar Township, the following resolution received approval. Resolved that the issue of septic inspection and permits in McKellar include the full breadth of drinking water source protection as defined under the Clean Water Act 2006. And many thanks. So I just wanted to be sure that when councillors make the decision about septic approval, that they understand that there's a much bigger picture of which septic system approvals and inspection are a part, and the drinking water source protection of that legislation was designed to protect everyone from the kind of occurrence that happened in Walkerton. And so it would be, you know, even if the decision is made to have local approval of septics, I think it would be really wise to look at what cost do municipalities that are under a drinking water source protection have in regard to this. Because one figure I found online was that municipalities such as North Bay pay a fee of $10 per household, and they get the whole package. And so that provides the septic approvals and the inspection, the geoscientists and the geology and, you know, everything. And we do have an airport in Parry Sound, and so, you know, where is all the de-icing fluid going? Nobody's looking at that right now. And so it's really important to know the whole picture, to ask the provincial government when you're talking to them about possibly taking on septic approvals, what would be involved in this. And I've quite frankly been hoping for a reason to urge council to try to pull together and get under a drinking water source protection plan, because I feel that there's a basic unfairness in terms of 80% or 95% of the population has this wonderful protection. And why are some municipalities not included in that? Why are some people not included in that? And so I just would like to urge you to take that into consideration, and I'll forward this letter to you. And I do have a document that I put together recently. It's just a list of websites where all this information can be found, because it took me a long time to sleuth it out, so I can attach that too when I send it.
Excellent. So I'd be good to get that information, and then I don't know what Graydon Smith is preparing to do here, whether he's coming back to the municipalities. I don't even know who sent the letters to him, so I'm sure this is added information for him to consider before he goes before cabinet and suggests a change. Great. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
It does occur to me, too, from reading this and reading between the lines, so this is another step down the road to amalgamation, maybe, if you read exactly what it says, and again, read between the lines?
Well, I see. I would take it as the opposite, because
would you?
I don't see this as another group like North Bay Mattawa doing all of the municipalities. I see this as a municipality wanting to do their own.
Okay.
So that would be separate from amalgamating. Right now, we're sort of amalgamated because we all have to go through North Bay Mattawa.
Yeah, I know. So it's not cut and dried, I admit.
No.
But anyhow, but.
And I don't, as I say, I'm not even aware of who sent the letters and what the letters said.
Yeah.
I just know that it has a long history.
Yeah.
Because some townships here can do all of their own approvals through a few site visits, and we can't. And I don't know what problems people are having with North Bay Mattawa, whether it's timing. If you're looking for certain inspections and it's not happening within a certain time, I don't know. We'd have to see what the complaints were.
It would be good to know what Chris knows about this,
right,
as well. So I don't know what he knows or doesn't know about it, but I'm sure if anybody does, he would. So.
Well, he said he would investigate and do a report to council.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Yeah, that would be good to know.
I know my son had some hiccups with his septic approval, I guess 18 months ago anyhow. And there was a turnover of staff from North Bay Mattawa and things, and you know, everything,
yeah,
the ball got dropped every step along the way, so it was frustrating getting help. So
yeah. And we have people in the township who worked for them at one point, and I guess they no longer do, but for whatever reasons.
And I actually had a septic bed, a new one installed within the last 2 years, probably about the same time, and
yeah.
I must say the experience was wonderful. That they came when requested. A lot of it was taken care of by the contractor doing the install. They arranged for the inspections, and I was there for a couple of their install inspections. I missed their very final inspection when the topsoil goes on and everything, but to deal with them, and I think the price I paid was seemed fair enough. And so my personal experience was good with them. Now, I'd like to know what these other municipalities, what problem they're having. Are they with a government that's trying to promote more housing? Are they willing to compromise the environment for that? That could be a concern. And again, if you're going to have a bunch of municipalities running around trying to do any inspections, like a busy staff or not enough staff, you'd hate to start to see shortcuts kind of thing. I think North Bay Mattawa is a well-established business, and they're not in the business of shortcutting for anybody. So I'd be interested to hear Chris's opinion on it. I was kind of surprised, so I look forward to his feeling that it should go to the individual municipalities, because that means having to have trained people on staff for these inspections. So
my understanding is that that'll have to be confirmed that he has the training right now. It'd have to be updated, but he has the papers, but that would have to be confirmed.
Right. And
so
then again,
maybe that's again directing him a certain way to
yeah. And again, I would be again a little concerned, as Jennifer mentioned, that then you're taking on the liability, and in 10 years from now, all of a sudden Manitobing is saturated with, you know, our readings go downhill tremendously. Whose head should it fall on? The council that made the decision to have it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking we have to investigate, certainly, because I don't want, maybe this is what's happening, I don't want North Bay Mattawa to go the way of the forestry example, the defunding, so that natural resources is not the way it used to be, and all the inspections that they used to provide, they just can't do it anymore. They don't have the labor force. And I'm hoping that's not happening with North Bay Mattawa.
Yeah, it's possible.
We have to make sure that, you know, if that's happening, if that's what the complaint is, that they're understaffed or turnover staff or whatever, that they may not have the labor force, the professionalism, the experience that we're looking for. So, whereas if a municipality can ensure that they have somebody who's trained, I know what you say, it seems to be, you know, hit and miss if it's each municipality, but if they have a provincial training as such, which I'm sure that would have to be done, as I say, if he has the paperwork already, then where did he get that? It wasn't from the next municipality over, it was from the province. Councilor Zula.
I think you have to, I wonder if he renews it, because you have to renew it.
I'm sure he'd have to.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have to renew your license every so many years.
Well, we have more things to investigate here, certainly, so.
Mm-hmm.
Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business, new business, committee reports, workshops. Anybody been to any meetings?
Yes, I have. I was to a 150th meeting, and thankfully 2024 is coming up soon. But anyways, different events still coming up. The Georgian Bay Winds performance here at the Community Center on October 24th. We have a cemetery tour in the township where a bus will be going around all the municipalities and stories to be told and history. And we have the Perry Sound Singers coming December 9th. And then we have a family New Year's Eve dinner show, obviously on New Year's Eve. So, and then we're waiting to hear back from the Ukrainian group in Perry Sound to see if they want to do a fundraiser here in McKellar. So we're just waiting for a reply that we should get in the next day or two. So still, we're finishing off the year with some major events.
Sounds good.
As I mentioned, I was at the Chamber of Commerce meeting last night. One of the things that came up, and I'm scratching my memory, remember exactly how, but I brought up the McKellar Market to them, and again, we have a market, a Christmas market on November the 18th, if I'm right. While I got talking about that, mostly off the cuff, I mentioned that Jan had mentioned to me that we had as many as 1,000 people an hour going through the market on some of the busier markets this year. And that was quite a shock for the other board members on the simple basis that I don't think, and I could be wrong, and nobody there, I asked the question, they asked if that was the most popular tourist, if you consider it a tourist activity, in West Perry Sound. And I said, well, I don't know of any others, but I admit I've had very nominal relationship with other municipalities, so, you know, other than just common sense. But and they were quite taken aback by that anyhow. So that's very interesting anyhow in terms of the perspective that it gained for others there. This, and then the next conversation was about the cruise ships. One of the things I was not aware of is that when the cruise ships come in, apparently, almost none of those people, when they get off the boat, stay in downtown Perry Sound or even in Perry Sound necessarily. For the most part, there's organizations and or businesses that are paid to bus them to different locations in West Perry Sound. And when I asked the question if somebody was willing to pay for it, and I don't mean this council, would they consider busing them here? And I asked how many were here on Saturdays. I didn't get a definitive answer, but a lot. So that if we wanted to bus them to the market, that's a possibility. I'm not suggesting necessarily we should, but it's interesting that it may be, and again, I'm not sure if it's quote-unquote a tourist thing, but I mean in terms of the amount of activity, the number of visitors to an event on a regular basis, this may be the number one event in West Perry Sound. I think it's more popular than the Rosso Market, and I don't know other situations, and I don't know that it really matters other than it kind of put us on the map and everything else, and relative to the downtown business or the Maple Syrup Festival that we were talking about, it's interesting, but again, this would potentially be a way of us drawing in some even foreign money in some cases into the community, and while we don't directly benefit from it, I mean, certainly the vendors would and things like that, and I think that would be a positive anyhow. So I'm not looking for council necessarily to do anything. It's just simply a report. And for the first time ever, it was like Little McKellar actually had something that others were asking about, and several people stayed and asked me about it afterwards. So anyway, it's just kind of good news. Anyway, that's all. But.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's hard to compare because some things are open weekly.
Yeah.
We're open one day a week. So it's hard to know how to compare. And I think it would be a factor. It's just a question of, I guess, because if you set up an excursion from a boat or a cruise ship, there are a lot of factors involved there to get people out here, and they'd have to pay up front somewhere and make sure you get the people out. So, yeah, I think it's consideration, certainly. The one thing you mentioned, the Christmas market, I have a bit of concern because I think we passed a resolution that the council chambers could be used on the 18th. I'm seeing on Facebook that they've been told, the vendors who were coming in here, that they can't have the council chambers, that it's closed, that they have to go outside. That concerns me because I thought we passed the resolution.
We did.
We did.
We did.
That's never come to us, that they don't want to use it now. So
I don't think that's, well, I mean, I don't know what the source of that would be or who said it, but I find it incredibly hard to believe. I talked with Jan today, actually, and somewhat about the same things I just shared with council about the chamber meeting. That certainly never came up at any time in there, and I know she listens to meetings. I mean, she's on Zoom, and she picks up on all kinds of things and has mentioned them to me. So, I mean, I think it's just a misunderstanding or misinformation, but I don't think there's any truth to that. I mean, one of the things I talked about was I told Jan I'd come and help out with some things on the Christmas market, not necessarily council chambers, but I mean, basically whenever I volunteered before, it's like, do this, do that, do the other thing, and I just go and do those things. So, I don't know where that comes from, but certainly we can correct that anyhow. So,
well, I think we should have confirmation from Jan because I think that's where it came from.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, it would be remarkable.
We need something from her,
yeah,
saying that she is going to use it or she isn't.
Okay,
so.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course. Anyhow, if you want, I can ask her because I was already talking to her, not about that specific issue, but we talked about the Christmas market. And so if this was a problem for her, I'm sure she would have mentioned it, and she did not. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. But like I said, it gives us profile, and that's relatively unique, I think. So.
Yeah. November 5th, I believe, is Remembrance Day services. Down at Minerva Park, and then there's going to be Mary's in charge of it, I guess.
Yep.
But I hope everything's falling into place because we have to, you know, the various people that have to be contacted to organize all this. So she's
already sent out invitations to the MP, MPP.
Okay.
I believe it's Donald Sanderson. She's been in touch.
Okay.
Yeah, whether I know they might want to contact Morley McDonald, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the trouble I've seen in the past, and we've set up separate things for Remembrance Day, we've had different functions. It's usually the Dunchurch McNetto and Legion that takes charge of the actual event. And so I don't know how much we can actually interfere with what they're going to do.
Right.
So.
And she does work directly with them.
Okay.
Because, of course, at one point in time, her dad was the president there.
Yeah. I just know situations when, for instance, you invite some choir members, and then they play tape music, that doesn't go over too well.
Yeah.
Choir sitting there, why are we here?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying the organization has to be, make sure it's done correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other committees?
No, but that, I received a email from Mary to ensure I was attending and that I would take on a certain responsibility. So
you're singing what?
National anthem.
National anthem, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, resolution 23-670, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Hascom. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of Keller has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you want to pull from that? Yes, okay. So, okay.
25-1?
Yeah. You can speak to it now, I guess, if you want.
Because of the provincial regulations for short-term rentals. So I was wondering, were we were discussing about hoping that the province would step in and maybe do something regarding the short-term rentals, one way or another?
Hoping, I guess. Carter was good enough to send us Tay Township from the association meeting.
Right after.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, did we want to support that resolution?
Go back to see how it's worded.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it deals with our particular situation.
Yeah.
to allow Airbnb and VRBO. There's no doubt a lot of the problem is Airbnb being they're just allowing whatever, not screening the renters well enough, obviously. So, yeah, I read the motion there and I thought, yeah, they're hitting a good point there, but whether it's...
Yeah, I'm just not sure, because I'm trusting me, Councillor Zulak's opinion on this, that they're supporting the request of government to establish a regulatory framework requiring digital platforms such as Airbnb and Vrbo. I didn't think...
No, I'd rather the municipality do it, yeah.
Plus the fact that right now our official plan says none, right?
Right.
And that's suggesting that, oh yes, we can allow them, but...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Anything else on that list that you want to discuss? All the question then, all those in favor? Opposed, carried. Resolution 23-671, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation, Township of Keller, does hereby give bylaw number 2023-72, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading, further read a third time and passed an open Council of the 17th day of October 2023. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. I guess we forgot to ask. I don't know if there's anybody left on Zoom. Well, there is one person on Zoom. Is there any questions from the public? Hearing none. And Resolution 23-672, moved by Councillor Haskam, second by Councillor Ryland, be it resolved the Council of Corporation of the Township of Keller, adjourn this meeting at 9:54 p.m. to meet again on November the 7th, 2023, or at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting's now adjourned.